say what? Ho, this is Brian, call me the Rover Gardener, coming to you from Ice Station Zeppelin, the Ramblin' Towers Dungeon Studio in what USA Today called stupid cold Hesper, Ontario. And you are listening to Ramblin' Radio, episode 86. Ramblin' Radio is the only dedicated Led Zeppelin podcast, the only Led Zeppelin podcast on this or any other known internets. Be sure to go to RambleOnRadio.com for all your Led Zeppelin news, any links I might mention during the show. You can subscribe to Ramble On Radio through iTunes. Do not forget to leave. If you go to iTunes, pop over to the review side and leave a review. 1 star, 3 stars, 5 stars. I'm not concerned about that. The point is to leave a review. It puts us in the what's hot category if you get enough reviews, and it makes them notice you. You can listen on Spreaker. Be sure to follow Ramble On Radio. If you're over there on Spreaker, that's S-P-R-E-A-K-E-R. And if you head over to YouTube, you can check out some previous episodes. And you can check out some future episodes, but it's not going to be everyone. I've made the decision. YouTube's just, the video side of it's a big pain, to be honest with you. So probably about once a month, I'm going to throw up a video. If you happen to be listening to this and I only watch it on video, or if you know somebody who only watches it on video, tell them to get in contact with me. It's a changeable decision. It's not set in stone, but I think that's, my feeling is what I've heard from a couple of people and stuff. And I know what I do in these things is I don't watch it. I don't watch podcasts and stuff. I throw it on my phone and listen to it. But I might pop over to YouTube and have a peek sometime. And I think that's what's happening here. And so I've decided to go that route. And we'll see. We'll just, you know, it's always flexible. So yeah, there is the Ramble On Radio on YouTube. It has some previous episodes. You can see what I look like. You can, and we'll throw up one a month and watch the slow death of my hairline. Anyway, follow Ramble On Radio on Facebook, Google Plus, and at Ramble On Blog on Twitter. I do try to respond to people, what people post. I do try to put some stuff up. I'm not great at the social media side of things, but I do try to at least respond and whatnot. So that's the stuff we got to get out of the way, right? So it's welcome to Physical Graffiti Month. It is February 2015, 40 years after the release of Physical Graffiti on the 24th of February. At this particular time, the band was in fact touring the United States. The album was supposed to come out in January. There were a few delays, but it was supposed to come out to coincide with the tour that was going on, the 1975 tour. That was really a bit of had its magical musical moments, but also had its offstage kind of issues, some sickness within the band, and it got off to a rough start for sure. And I'm going to talk about that probably next month, because it went on right through the spring and summer, and there is a good book on it from Stephen Davis called Led Zepp 75, and I reviewed it a couple of years ago when it came out, and so I'll kind of go through that book a bit. Well, I'll pick up the book and read it and go through it and look at some of the dates and listen to a few of the shows, and probably sometime in March after the submarine has gone back, the ice pack is gone in the backyard and the submarine has slipped away, we may get into that. And speaking of books about 1975 shows, nice. Segue. It's a segue. That might be my first ever segue. And of course, any segue is ruined by pointing out that it was a segue. That's kind of a rule in life. If you have to say nice segue, it wasn't. But there you go. I was impressed because it's probably the first one I've ever actually used. There is a book coming out this spring, it looks like, called Five Glorious Nights. It's on the Earl's Court shows, the Five Nights Led Zeppelin did at Earl's Court. It is published by Rufus Stone. It'll be one of these big fancy books. Coffee table book on high quality art paper. a limited edition, each individually numbered, and it is done by Dave Lewis. It's been compiled by Dave Lewis. And you have to go to Five Glorious Nights, all one word, fiveglorious.co.uk, and I'll try and get that that up on the website in the next couple of days, and register, and then they'll send you information on it. It's going to be limited edition, etc., etc. So that's coming. I knew Dave Lewis was working on a book on, and I've mentioned it a number of times before, my hope was that it was going to be along the lines of Feather in the Wind, or the, I've got a cover of it here, what's it called? Oh, that's Feather in the Wind, 1980. So I can show it to the computer, but nobody can see me. But I have, that's a cover from that. Oh, damn, his Nebworth book, anyway. He did one on Nebworth as well. And, where the hell is it? Oh, there it is up there. Then As It Was, it's called. So Then As It Was covers the Nebworth show, but also covers kind of the end of the 77 tour, up to the Nebworth show, and then a little bit after the Nebworth show. And then Feather in the Wind kind of covers from Nebworth until John Bonham's death, focusing, of course, on the shows in 1980. So it would have been nice if Dave had done the same kind of idea himself, self-published, and done one on the Earl's Court shows, and he could have covered Robert Plant's accident, the recording of Physical Graffiti, right through to Robert Plant's accident, and even on to 77. Could have done that in there, I'm not being critical of him. I would have liked to have seen another book along those lines on that subject. I would like to have seen kind of cover the whole gamut of Led Zeppelin's career that way. If somebody like Rufus Stone Publishing is offering to do a high quality art paper book, and let's face it, this isn't, I do this because, what the hell? That's why I do it. And I don't make any money at this. It costs me money. Not a lot. I'm not complaining. But it's a hobby, and it takes a few $100 out of my pockets every year. Dave Lewis does this for his living right now. And so if he has a chance to make better money letting somebody else publish and doing a different type of book, then that's what he's going to do, and that's what he should do. He shouldn't starve to death so I can have the kind of book I want. I want that kind of Earl's Court book. My business to write it, I suppose, right? But that's coming and should be shortly. I'll keep an eye open for it. I will contact them about getting a copy, and the answer will be very heavy on the no, I'm sure. Just because of the type of book it is. But I will try and I'll see what I can get going on that. And I'll see what I'll let you know as soon as they know. It doesn't even say what it costs. I'm hoping we're looking at $80 to $100, not $200 to $300, but because I may never have a copy to review if it's that price. That's just going to be the way it goes. There you go. Now, Jimmy has been, he did a listening party for Physical Graffiti for the bonus material this week. Dave Lewis, again, Dave has been out. If you go to Type It Loose website, Dave was there and reviewed it, and he's very excited about what he heard. And they did hear, the Trampled Underfoot version, the less overdubs and whatnot. They heard Walking into Kashmir or whatever it's called, Riding into Kashmir, the version of Kashmir that's going to be on the bonus material. I know they heard those, but I did not go through and pick apart. I did not read him carefully on what he said. Kind of an executive decision that when I hear it, I want to kind of make form my own judgments. Now, if you go to iTunes, possibly Amazon, but definitely iTunes, you can get the version of Night Flight with whatever the bonus version anyway, which is. Houses of the Holy, not Night Flight. It is available now. And It's an alternate mix with something, something, something. And it sounds a little different. But Dave was really quite excited about some of the stuff Jimmy played out at Olympic Studios. And one of the things he said, by the way, he did some talking too, is he plans to be playing live by the end of the year. That he's getting himself into, he was using soccer terms, he's getting himself into game shape. And something about the touchline, I'm not sure what exactly, but bottom line, he's saying, there's playing to record. There's a level you need to be at to record. There's another level you need to be at to fart around the house, to please yourself. There's a level for recording, and then there's a whole new level for going out live, and he's not at that level yet, but he's getting there. And the implication was he's practicing hard, he's working with people, and it's coming, and he expects to be, he says it won't be next month, but it's more like the end of the year than 2 years. So now Jimmy has talked long and hard for quite some time about doing some live shows, doing some recording. We hear this every year fairly faithfully from him. But this one, kind of the way he worded it, sounded like other times it has been, I expect to get going on something soon. This sounded more like, I am going on this. This is, I am going on it. But take it with a grain of salt, nonetheless. It's a constant Jimmy promise, and it may be a promise he's making to himself, and it's like, your promise to quit smoking, my promise to lose weight. It only works so far. It only goes so far. It is what it is, I suppose, is the... So we'll keep our ear to the ground on it. We'll see what Jimmy is doing, but no promises, and I'm certainly not holding my breath. All right, let's get on to Physical Graffiti Month. Woohoo! February 2015, 40 years after Physical Graffiti. Many, many people's favorite Led Zeppelin album. I have argued before Led Zeppelin IV, the greatest rock and roll album of all time. It doesn't make it the best Led Zeppelin album. Like, paradoxically, I think this one is more comprehensive. As a focused, concise piece of work, Led Zeppelin IV is better. As a comprehensive, all-encompassing, boy, there's a lot going on here album, I'll take Physical Graffiti, and I like this album a lot. And it's not that I didn't always like the album, it's that I didn't always realize I liked the album. I remember my brother got this, it must have been Christmas 75, that make him 15 and me 12, and you kind of, song by song, you put it on song by song, and go, yeah, like that's, yeah, like that, but then you put on the album, go, yeah, I think side three always put me off, and it's this, In the Light and Down by the Seaside, both are kind of, I don't know, I've never liked the keyboardy stuff in the Light. The droning thing and whatnot. Still not my favorite part of the album. But not horrific either. Down by the Seaside I like. It's a sweet little song. And 10 Years Gone I always kind of considered a bit boring. I don't anymore. I do not anymore. Now what's going to happen is this is a 4-week month. Today I'm going to talk about the album. The recording thereof. The cover. The songs, what songs are on it, the 8-track versus the LP, etc. Next week, I'm going to get into album one, the actual songs, and we're going to look at where they were recorded, who did what on them, some stories about the songs, because there's lots of stories about these songs, there's lots of movement around about these songs, and I'll examine some different stuff regarding that. And that'll be album one. 2 weeks from now, I'll do album two. So we'll cover each album as a separate entity as it is. This week we're covering it as a total. And totally, the next 2 weeks we'll cover each one album, two albums. Or if it goes really fast, I'll do both albums and skip a week. And maybe I'll do the 75 tour in the third week. Maybe that's the way to go. We'll see how it goes. And then 4 weeks from now, the end of the month, they're releasing the remastered with bonus tracks, the super duper deluxe Bang Your Head Against the Wall edition, on the 24th, the anniversary which happens to be a Tuesday here in the Americas, which is the day the albums are released. It'll actually be on the 23rd in Britain. It'll actually be on the 21st on the internet. 20th or 21st, I guarantee you it'll be out there. But that said, and so I'll talk about the fourth one. I'll talk about the bonus material, and I don't know. I'm gonna try and get the box before I do that last one, but I may not. They're not usually available here for 2 or 3 weeks after. They're supposed to be available up here in Canada. You can't get the LPs for some reason. But I'll do a review of whatever it is I got. I'll do the review. I'll base it on what I get my hands on. And money will play a factor in that as well. Anyway, here's the album, the LP of the album specifically. Side one, Custard Pie, The Rover, and In My Time of Dying. Side two, Houses of the Holy, Trampled Underfoot, and Kashmir. Side three, In the Light, Bron Ryar, Down by the Seaside, 10 Years Gone. Side four, Night Flight, The Wonton Song, Boogie with Stew, Black Country Woman, and Sick Again. Now, they weren't all recorded. I have eight of the tracks were recorded in early 1974, engineered by Ron Nevison at Headley Grange using the Ronnie Lane Mobile Studio. Now, previously they'd used Headley Grange and the Rolling Stones Mobile Studio, but I guess with the breakup of the Faces, Ronnie Lane got into the mobile studio business as well, and it was a cheaper setup. Ron Nevison was the guy who put it together for him. who did all the engineering work inside the studio. So he set it up. And that is why he kind of came with the studio as the engineer. Jimmy Page, by the way, is listed as the producer. Nevison engineered the tracks, but Jimmy Page is listed as producer. Peter Grant as executive producer. As I mentioned before, it was meant to be released in January to coincide with the 1975 tour. But delays kept it until February 24th. When it was released, it entered the charts in Britain at number one. In the States, it entered at number three, which was a record for the time. And then the next week, climbed to number one and stayed there for 6 weeks. So we were talking February, March, well into April. It's still at number one. The album was the title of the album was actually coined by Page to illustrate the physical and written, and quote, this is a bit of a quote, physical and written energy that had gone into the making of the album. I think he said producing the album. That's Dave Lewis from Led Zeppelin A Celebration. And it is, by the way, a double album. Now, probably you guys who are younger don't remember. Double albums were a much bigger deal. It's easy to think now, you know, it's, when people routinely make CDs in the 60 to 70 minute range, and to think back on, it was a big deal if something was in the 70 minute range, 70 to 80 minutes, is what double albums tended to be. You tended to get 20 minutes aside, but they squeezed it up to 22 and a half minutes aside sometimes, but that was really squeezing it in and didn't tend to happen on double albums. And the point behind a double album was you had a much bigger concept going on. You were thinking much bigger. And they weren't just done, oh, let's make more money. It was expected that if you put out a double album, you had a double album for the solid material. You weren't just throwing filler in there. Much like a CD nowadays has three or four good songs and, you know, 12, 13 filler. That was not, if you're going to only have three or four good songs, then only have three or four or five filler songs and release a single album. So this is, I think, very few arguments can be made that just filler in this. Now, I would point out, as I did, that there's a couple of tracks not my favorites, particularly side three, In the Light and Down by the Seaside. But I would not argue that either of them are filler. They're just different enough to mine. And it's an album that, when you think about it, really encompasses a variety of sounds, right? From Branrar, which is a little acoustic, classical acoustic-y thing, to Night Flight, which is just a straight-up rocker. So is Sick Again, by the way. And Custard Pie and Trampled Underfoot is a funky song. Kashmir is, what is Kashmir? It's heavy, but it's, you know, it's got the drone, it's got the, it consists, and In My Time of Dying is a heavy blues. Black Country Woman's a folk song. It really is all over the map. And that's the album going back into the sleeve, by the way. I'm going to talk a bit about the cover soon. It's not a small thing when they released a double album, and it was expected to be good, and it was something that generated some excitement. It meant something different commercially to people buying. To us people who really thought music was something special, it wasn't just a commodity we purchased. It meant something special. And if you're younger than, you know, if you came up in the mid-80s beyond, it may be really hard to express just how that is, how much that is so, but believe it was true. This is, by the way, the first Led Zeppelin album on Swansong. Not the first album, I believe Bad Company's first album is the first one on Swansong. And the logo on the back is the Swansong logo. For those who don't know, it's actually derived from a painting. A guy called William Rimmer, is the painting is Evening, the Fall of Days, and it is Icarus, you know, flying to the sun. But apparently there's an argument that it's also Lucifer being kicked out of heaven. But I don't know. I don't know about that. That's just what I was reading. But it is supposed to be Icarus, yes. Who made wings and flew to the sun. And, of course, the wings were made of feathers and wax. And the wax melted. Turns out the sun is hot. Icarus didn't know this. Okay, so the cover... let's stick with the songs for a few minutes, and then we'll finish off on the cover. So here's what, because it's not all recorded at Headley Grange by Ron Nevison. It's 8 of the songs were recorded for this album on the sessions at Headley Grange in the mobile studio, Ronnie Lane mobile studio. Those songs are Custard Pie, In My Time of Dying, Trampled Underfoot, Kashmir. In the Light, 10 Years Gone, Wanton Song, and Sick Again. Let's think about it. Let's break that in half. Actually, no, we got to do something with that. We got to go... 10 Years Gone was... I think we have to take Wanton Song and put it after Custard Pie. So let's go Custard Pie... No, Custard Pie, Sick Again, Trampled Underfoot, and Kashmir. And then Wanton Song, In the Light, 10 Years Gone, In My Time of Dying. How's that? 8 tracks, 1 album, 1 long album, but 1 album. That's a pretty good album. You don't need to add the other stuff. You know? And I'm just kind of trying to arrange it. But yeah, Custard Pie, In My Time of Dying, Trampled Underfoot, Kashmir. Side one, In the Light, 10 Years Gone, Wanton Song, Sick Again. Like I say, we'll move that around a little bit because both Trampled Underfoot and Kashmir are quite long. But I think that's an album. That's a good album. Not recorded at Headley Grange for the album, or as I have acronymed on my sheet, AHGFA. The Rover was recorded at Stargraves for the Houses of the Holy sessions. Houses of the Holy was recorded at Olympia Studios and Electric Lady in New York for the Houses of the Holy sessions. Branwyar was recorded at Island Studio for the third album, as was Down by the Seaside. Night Flight was recorded at Headley Grange with the Rolling Stones mobile for the fourth album, as was Boogie with Stu. And Black Country Woman was recorded in the Garden of Stargraves, which would have been the House of the Holy Sessions, with the plane. The plane flying overhead, legitimately was flying overhead. The Rolling Stones mobile again. And that was in 1972. So yeah, it would have been the House of the Holy Sessions that recorded that. So House of the Holy could have had the Rover, House of the Holy, and Black Country Woman on it. What do you take off? Ooh. And Boogie was doing Night Flight could have, and I've argued before, I put on, you know, Night Flight, take out Four Sticks, and you have a pretty interesting, you might just be improving Led Zeppelin 4, if that's possible. Should I go over that again? Custard Pie in my time now. Well, as I go over the songs one by one, I'll mention this again. So this won't be always. This will get its due. You'll get this idea as you go. But yeah, those 8 songs originally. You know what? I'm going to sort that out. I'm going to what I'll do by the end. I will sort out a proper set list of 8 for the sessions. And we'll see. Well, I'll pull out the times and stuff, and I'll see how it works. See if I can make something work. All right. Now the cover. The cover is a picture of a tenement building in New York City. You will notice, if you look at your phone right now, assuming you're listening to this on your phone, that the avatar for this podcast is the same building. I have been there a couple of times. It is at... number 96 and 98, St. Mark's Place in the East Village of New York. It's Alphabet City, they also call this area. Avenue A, Avenue B, Avenue C, Avenue D, that sort of stuff. And it cuts up. And it was at one time fairly poor, but it's the entirety of Manhattan is really gentrified now. There was for a long time a used clothing store, kind of 70s era clothing, called Physical Graffiti, in the basement of this building. If you're looking at your cover, it would be under the eye of graffiti. There's a door on the far right, the far bottom right corner. There's a door, there's stairs. There's a guy sitting on the stairs. That's on the left. And on the right, there's another set of stairs. And right beside it, there's a door down in the basement. That was the store, Physical Graffiti, and it was called Physical Graffiti. And they called it that, obviously, because the album cover there, and they decided to cash in. And then a couple of years ago, they changed it up. I don't know whether they sold it or whatever. And new people came in, and the store is now called Physical Graffiti, T-E-A. And it is a tea place. They have lots of teas. And myself and Steve Sauer walked over there. It was a stinking hot day, and we walked that way, and we ended up, it's a tea. And we went and had iced tea. So we got a beautiful, really nicely done iced tea, freshly brewed, etc., etc. Run by hippies, so you know it's healthy. that's what I get, anyway. The front of the cover is daylight shot, by the way. The back of the cover is a nighttime shot, and it's also flipped. The back one is flipped. So if you look, the garbage bins and stuff are on the left. On the daytime shot, they're on the right. So Physical Graffiti, the store, would be on the left at the back now. So what they did was they cut out the windows of the tenement. And they put in a bunch of pictures where those windows would go. Now, of course, the original cover open, it says the highlights. It's like curtains and letters in the windows, and at the back, they're all curtained over. But if you take that out and you put the album sleeve there, they have pictures on them, and it's different stuff going on in the windows. And this has been a well thought out issue. It was very similar to something Jose Feliciano did the year before, and he did a very simplified version of it. No, I think he did it in 72. And so, this is from, from Led Zeppelin FAQ by George Case, who's been on this program, when the FAQ was done. I'm not with glasses, and I don't know why. I'm not recording it visually. So here's what you see on the covers. Got your album out? Got your LP out? Everybody, I'll give you a couple seconds. I'll see if I can find something interesting to read in this book. Okay, this is page 179. The Southbound Soiree, the sha-la-la-la towards the end of this catchy groove are almost identical to the backing vocals in Roy Orbison's Mean Woman Blues. Of course, there is no way to copyright such phrases, which are the basics to the language of pop music as Baby, Ooh-Wah, Hoochie-Coo, and Wang Dang. That is on Love Some Other Man 2 section of Led Zeppelin FAQ. And did you get your album? The duels are ran. Got the album? Was that enough time? All right. Here's what you want to see. On the Record 1 front cover, these are the pictures. Top row, from left to right. Flight of RAF biplanes. Led Zeppelin manager Peter Grant, actors Carol Lombard, an embracing couple, and astronaut Buzz Aldrin. Second row from the top, Robert Plant, John Bonham, John Paul Jones, Jimmy Page, all during the previous Japanese tour. Third row from the top, horse and dog portrait. Pears shaving soap advertisement. Parmigianino's Vision of St. Jerome altarpiece. It's a work of art in a bondage outfit. And at the bottom row, illustration of children, Wizard of Oz still, John Bonham, and the coronation of Queen Elizabeth II. A picture from. On the back cover of Record 1, Jules Verne's From the Earth to the Moon, top row, left to right. A cat, a woman crushed by a giant foot, a burlesque strip reel, and Caravaggio's Young Sick Bacchus. That's a painting. Second row, John Paul Jones, Dante Rossetti's Proserpine, John Bonham, Robert Plant in drag. Third row from the top, Buster Crabbe and Flash Gordon's Trip to Mars, Robert Plant, Da Vinci's Woman with an Ermine and an Angel. And the bottom row, a woman with stockings, John Bonham and Jimmy Page in drag, John Paul Jones and Jimmy Page, coronation, a picture of the coronation of Queen Elizabeth II. Okay, the second record, the front cover. And by the way, these aren't marked. So I don't know where he actually got which one is which, but you know, you quickly see. Take a quick look at the cover. Top row is a nun with an umbrella. Laurel and Hardy in Wrong Again. Black youth with ice cream cone. Pope Leo XIII and Charles Atlas. The second row from the top, left to right, an embracing couple. Elizabeth Taylor and Cleopatra. Hands in crotch close-up. And Jimmy Page. The third row from the top, Zeppelin. A Zeppelin, I think that is, actually. Designer Peter Corriston. Designer Mike Dude. And a bodybuilder. And the fourth row, bottom row, John Bonham and Robert Plant. Woman on alligator. Navy dive effect test photos. Coronation of Queen Elizabeth II. So the bottom right on each one so far is coronation picture. I want to see the Zeppelin. Let me pull this out really quickly. I want to have a peek at the Zeppelin. Yes, there's a coronation picture at every single one. It is an actual Zeppelin. It looks like it's falling from the sky, by the way. So there you go. And yes, it looks like a coronation picture on the bottom right of every single one. I didn't know that. Okay, so the back cover, album 2. Top row, King Kong, Robert Plant, man falling from building, explosion, and a harp woman. What? No, wrong one. I want to see what a harp woman is. A harp. An actual harp. Looks like a woman either playing it, possibly carved into it. And yes, there is a man falling from a building. And what is the other one? An explosion. Okay. Really, you have to get these under the magnifying glass in some cases. The second row from the top. Nude man at swimming pool. Possibly Robert Plant. Undersea Kingdom 1930s serial. Lee Harvey Oswald. John Bonham. Third row. John Bonham. Jimmy Page in drag. Native American woman. Girl with dog. Fourth row. Serial movie still. Kitchen, Devils, Coronation of Queen Elizabeth II. That's the pictures that are on the inner sleeve covers. Let's see if we can find this naked picture of Robert Plant. could be Robert Plant. Yeah, I suppose. That is definitely Lee Harvey Oswald. Yeah, there's this one. What did they call this one? There's a very cute lady in the... Oh, look at me. Lost my place. What am I thinking? 23. So what do you think she is? Girl with dog, it says. I always thought she was very cute. The girl with a dog. Yeah, but you know, I was 16. Everybody was cute. Anyway, so that's going to be it for now. We're going to next week look at album one, the music therein, how it was made, who did what, who wrote it, and anything interesting within the music, because there's a lot of information on this album in terms of this stuff. So I'm just going to go over it one kind of disc at a time. Oh, by the way, 8-track. It's the identity. It does not have the cover, fancy cover. It just is black with, you know, that's something you really lost on the 8-tracks. In terms of the set list, the only thing difference is Braun Ra is, one is the same, it being four sides and four tracks on an 8-track, track one, track two, track three, track four are the same, except Braun Ra is moved from track three to the bottom of track two after Kashmir. And that's probably just spacing, that's just getting it in there where it fits best. So I wanted to mention that. And that is it. So like I say, next week we'll look at record one. Custard Pie, The Rover, In My Time of Dying, Houses of the Holy, Trampled Underfoot, and Kashmir. And discuss, animate and discuss those songs. So that is it for Ramble On Radio, episode 86. Check rambleonradio.com for notes on this week's podcast, Led Zeppelin news and reviews, any links mentioned in today's podcast. Follow Ramble On Radio on Facebook, Google+, and at Ramble On Blog on Twitter. You can subscribe to Ramble On Radio through iTunes. If you do, leave a review. But if you're in iTunes for any other reason, you're buying Physical Graffiti, the bonus edition, pop over to Ramble On Radio. Just do a quick search in the top. It comes up right away. And leave a review. You can listen on Spreaker, and be sure to follow me at Ramble On Radio on Spreaker. Head over to YouTube and look at some of the previous podcasts. And thanks for listening to Ramble On Radio, episode 85. Keep it cooling, babies.
I'm sure there'll be internet forums telling me what I'm doing.
Switch off the internet.